I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, providing a safe space for the independent thinkers each weekday from 9 to 11 o'clock next hour. We're going to do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We're going to focus in for part of that show on breast cancer awareness. I do kind of an annual show as they try to coat us in pink and people are walking and running for a cure. And God love you for participating and trying to help women who have the diagnosis. I kind of do a bit of a rebuttal, what I believe is empowering stuff to women. Wouldn't it be great rather than joining the club? Last I saw, one out of every eight women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. Instead of joining that club, wouldn't avoiding it be better? So we'll look at some of the root causes, some of the things that women can do. I think it's a very sad situation. It's an awareness month, but it's really, to me, it's a reminder of the fear that women live in. And there's just some very obvious things out there that people can do to try to spare themselves that. So we'll do that and some other stuff next hour in the health segment. Quotes of the day today. Pull out my phone here. James has sent me several good quotes. A couple of them I've used. Sometimes I forget to get on my phone. I'm not a phone person, really, but he sent me this, and this is very interesting to me. I love really ancient quotes because it really shows you how little the world has changed. This is actually from Plato. Those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed, by the masses. So maybe Plato was the original so-called conspiracy theorist, where he tried to wake up his fellow citizens. Yet he suffered the same slings and arrows, maybe literally back in the day, that those of us who do try to expose corruption and look at these things. So that's Plato. Those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, yet alone believed, by the masses. Plato. I guess human's just gonna human. It doesn't matter what time or what the current events are. Other quotes today, Friedrich Nietzsche said, "The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened, but no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself." Always oppose groupthink. As Mark Twain said, if you ever find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to stop and pause. Now listen to this quote of the day. This was from an unlikely source. Andrew Yang, the lunatic with the universal basic income idea on the Democratic side of things. But he's got a tweet out, and I've got to agree with it. He said, "It's not left versus right. It's the people versus a system designed to turn us against each other." It's not left versus right. It's the people versus a system designed to turn us against each other. That's Andrew Yang. I might be able to sit down and have a cup of coffee with that guy. I'll explain to him the ridiculousness of a universal basic income, while popular, would be devastating to our country. But other than that, at least he understands that there are powers that are just seeking to divide us. Jeffrey Tucker said this. Someone asked me the other day if I believe in conspiracies. Well, sure, here's one. It's called the political system. It is nothing if not a giant conspiracy to rob, trick, and subjugate the population. That's why I have such a difficult time. I'm around a lot of people who are around politics, kind of live that world. It's kind of like being around an attorney when you're in court and you see problems with court procedures and how expensive it could be. And they just look at it like, well, that's just the way the system is. They ascribe some kind of a legitimacy to it. I have frustration with those people, too. They can't see from the outside. It's the same thing with people who do politics and are hobnobbing with politicians. And I just think, boy, you just don't see it the way the average citizen sees it. We are so frustrated and so sick of all of it. People who, and I don't fault them. You know, their job sometimes is to play the game and to understand the system. Just very difficult from those from the outside because the political system is just it's an abusive relationship with the citizen at this point, particularly in the United States here. And then the final quote of the day, which I just thought was funny. It's just a meme. It says, my wrinkles are all from laughter, except those lines between my eyebrows. Those are my WTF lines, and those suckers run deep. I think we've all got some of those. All right. I guess I'll go ahead and get into this. I've started stacking headlines for the day. And I want to see if you can spot kind of the common denominator of these headlines. This is a big chunk of them, too. Interesting thing is, I pull these down from Drudge and sometimes some other news aggregators. And Drudge will sometimes highlight these things by giving their headline, the click links, different colors. And I noticed today when I put it together, there some of them are red and some of them are blue. Now, that's not a political designation. It's just where they stand on his page and if he wants something to stand out. It just was interesting to me because, I'll make the point at the end of this. Here's a stack of headlines, what we're dealing with right now. New Zealand COVID cases hit record despite vax push. I don't know how much more evidence we need that this thing is failing. I've got a clip, but it's so long. I may have to save it for maybe someday. I just won't do any show prep, and I'm just going to play a huge, long Jimmy Dore clip. Jimmy Dore is a comedian. I've talked about him a lot on this show. He is leftist. He is for universal basic income. He's for free health care, free college. But he's an intelligent guy and very open-minded, and he's done a clip where he is highlighting some of the reports that are on the National Institute of Health website showing that these vaccines don't work. He is vaccinated. He's on the left. And he just breaks these things down and just stares into the camera on this video like, what the hell are we doing? Because he's at least open to it. What I think I'm seeing is the birth of a libertarian, to be honest with you. He's kind of a fellow traveler. He has a lot of libertarians on his show, a lot of things they would disagree with. But it's interesting to listen to this guy say, our government's lying to us. The government that's mandating these shots, I think it's the birth of a libertarian, but we'll see. Other headlines that are stacked up here. Russia proposes week-long workplace shutdown as deaths highest ever. Russia's been doing a big vaccine push as well. The UK, heavily vaccinated UK, draconian lockdowns, horrible restrictions. Real totalitarian state over in Great Britain. Here's the headline. New variant monitored as UK patients rise. Boris Johnson predicts difficult winter. This is what we need to be on guard with here. You know, it feels like the pedal's off the metal just a little bit. We're dealing now with these ridiculous vaccine mandates, which are I'm showing you from the headlines. And you can go to the NIH and read the report Jimmy Dore's talking about where there is no statistical difference between heavily vaccinated areas and lowly vaccinated areas as far as patient counts or cases or any of this stuff. Just there's no difference. There's even some trend lines that suggest the more heavily vaccinated an area, the worse the cases are. But we don't seem to be reversing course or even pausing to think about that. Anyway, that means that this winter, while it feels like they've taken the masks off the kids for a few weeks here. Everybody's getting it. This is how they do it. It's four steps forward, one step back to give you a time to let your guard down again. And then, boom, we're going to have three or four steps forward when it comes this winter. Headlines keep on coming. Food shortages, next supply chain nightmare. People hoarding. Farmers worry could grow worse. White House weighs tapping National Guard. Well, if there's any National Guard left, I've had several of them call this show, particularly off air, and say they're getting out. They just decided, I guess I'm going to have to resign. because of this vax mandate. We seem to be needing the National Guard an awful lot these days, don't we? That's probably not a good sign for your society and your country when you constantly need to roll out armed troops for this, or whether it's transportation or crowd control or anything. It's probably not a good idea, probably not a good trend that we're constantly tapping National Guard. Of course, this is the White House is saying this. Procter & Gamble to raise prices on more staples. Worker crunch intensifies. Shipping containers dumped in neighborhoods. Walkouts and strikes hit hospitals in pandemic-hit hotspots. Well, that's a positive development, isn't it? Nice job, Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, the rest of you health authorities in the medical establishment. You've taken a bad situation and made it so much worse. Congratulations. And you still claim some moral authority here. And then the last one, wanted 80,000 truck drivers right now. 80,000. Down in the story, it said they believe by 2030 they'll be short about 160,000, and then there was some other calculation to be a million drivers short going forward. Now, I thought we were going towards the driverless truck in the first place. This may actually move us towards that fate quicker, but what the common denominator in all of these headlines, what have I got there, about 12, 14 headlines? Common denominator is, it's the people taking it in the shorts in every single one of these. And the funny thing about them being red and blue headlines is all you Democrats and all you Republicans are all suffering the same fates. You've all got Procter & Gamble's not going to give you Democrats a price break. No, you're going to pay the higher prices too. The walkouts and the strikes at the hospitals. There are Republicans and Democrats, blacks and whites. Everybody's in these hospitals not getting the care they deserve, because it is all of us that are on the receiving end of a deteriorating, crumbling economy and society right now, while the people at the top pitch you against each other. Every one of these, the price is always to be paid at the Main Street level, at the general population level. Price is not paid. If you look at, was it J.P. Morgan or Goldman Sachs? Record earnings the other day. How about that? Isn't that odd? Yeah, the game continues, and the people keep falling for it. There are some wins, though, when we come back. There are wins. We need to acknowledge the wins, because it's one of those kind of morale boosters. You got to get some kind of momentum. We've got to realize, I think people are starting to discover they actually do have power if they would actually stand up. Shame on all of you who acquiesce to all of these things, whether it's the masks or the shots, because you just didn't want to be bothered. You didn't want to be burdened. You just couldn't think of a way that you could possibly resist these things. Well, people are starting to stand up. They've had enough. And maybe this will inspire more movements to push back against this stuff. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with us. You know, I don't know if people will learn the lesson. We don't learn the lessons of history, but it sure would be nice if people would start paying attention to the fact that we're not completely powerless in these things if we move en masse against things. The problem is so many people buy into the propaganda, and so many people give up so quickly. They are just so cowed, so infantilized in our society. If we had stood up against vaccine mandates, if we'd stood up against mask mandates, if business owners had stood up against restrictions on their businesses in mass. Now, I don't blame everybody for the first couple of months. I'll be honest with you. First couple of months of this thing, I was wondering what was going on. I was kind of happy to stay in the house, and I'm not concerned about my health. I take some pride in my immune system. I'm like an immune system daredevil. You got the flu, I'll drink after you, just to show you. It's my special skill, I guess. But we could have beat this back from the beginning. I just wonder if people will wake up, and I want to highlight any wins that we have, because maybe it shows when the winter comes, and it's going to come. I just read you the headline, Boris Johnson's warning of a bad winter. You know we're going to have a flu season. They're going to misdiagnose flu as COVID. They're going to talk about case rates. They're going to talk about hospitals. They're not going to mention the fact that the reason the hospitals are struggling is because they fired a bunch of nurses. They're going to come back at us with this stuff again. Have we learned the lesson yet that we just say no? No Thomas Dobbs, no Tate Reeves, no Lumumba and Jackson. The black community will not get rid of the masks. It's bugging the crap out of me. What are you doing? Seriously, we're 18 months in. You got 18 months of data in. The masks do not work. They're bad for you. Am I to take from the larger than usual uptake of masks in the black community that you are more immunocompromised than other people? Please, get rid of these masks. But anyway, there are wins. One of them was, and I don't even know if I talked about it, you know, LSU had done a vaccine requirement. I'm not sure if they allowed a negative test, but LSU, the cowards they were at the top, had done a vaccine requirement for anybody going to go see an LSU game. They have retracted that. It hit them in the pocketbook, and see, this is where you got to hit them. That's where you hit them. Hit them in the pocketbook. I've been watching these airlines. I'm not going to fly. Of course, I may not be allowed to fly for years anyway, so it's maybe a bit of an empty threat. But, you know, I'm watching these airlines, like I believe it was United. I was forcing their employees to get vaccines. I'll never fly a United flight because they're cruel to their employees. They're experimenting on their employees. I don't want to support that. But here we go. Southwest, this was the big news last week, as Southwest had a bit of a sick out, not officially acknowledged, but it was widely known. Southwest pilots were pretty much letting the general public know, it's not official, but you're going to have some problems if you're on a Southwest flight. We're not going along with this vaccine mandate. And suddenly Southwest was canceling 1,000 flights a day, 960 flights a day, as the Southwest started to recover. American Airlines popped up because the American Airlines pilots said, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we'll be next. We're going to do exactly the same thing. One day after hundreds of Southwest Airlines employees protested outside the carrier's Dallas headquarters against the company's pending COVID-19 vaccine mandate, the company has caved. According to CNBC, the airline has scrapped a plan to place unvaccinated employees who have applied for but not yet received a religious or medical exemption on unpaid leave. Starting December 8th, the company has given employees until November 24th to finish their vaccinations or apply for an exemption and will continue paying them while the company reviews their requests. This is according to a new report. Quote, this is a change. This is a change from what was previously communicated. This came from the people with Southwest Airlines. Do you understand? Do you understand now? And those of you who, even if you want the shot, do you not understand the danger of forcing a bunch of... Those of you who want the shot and are excited about mandates and you think that anybody who doesn't take it is an idiot, you may end up in the hospital short of nursing staff at some point. Would that make you pause to reflect? You may not get things off the grocery store shelves because truckers strike around this. Are you happy about the vaccine mandates then? I mean, there's whole kinds of consequences that could come your way because this COVID and the vaccination program and Anthony Fauci and Thomas Dobbs have unleashed your inner tyrant, your inner authoritarian. Can you really not see just possibly a few weeks out when you're trying to get to that wedding or to the birth of your grandchild and you just can't seem to catch a flight? Maybe you rethink this idea that you force other people to do something that you wanted to do? Can we not see this? As I say, I don't know. We don't learn the lessons of history well. And obviously it keeps repeating itself, according to the Plato quote that I did earlier in the show. But we're seeing these things, and police departments around the country are finally resisting as well. And we're going to see that if people actually mobilize, particularly with these employers, and I had this conversation last night with some people, I am unpopular in my belief that you should not force an employer to not do a vaccine mandate, just because I think that as soon as you let the government in to tell an employer what they can and cannot do, then you lose all ability to tackle the next thing. If you can tell an employer to force their employees to get a vaccine, that's wrong. It makes it equally wrong for them to come in and force an employer to not require a vaccine. What you do in that situation is you have all the employees who do not want to be forced to take a vaccine to walk the hell off the job. Hit that employer in the pocketbook. I do think that employers should be sued, too, if they force somebody into a vaccine with a bad outcome. That would make employers rethink. See, there's all kinds of private property, free market remedies to these things without the government coming in. I resist at all levels the government asking for government help. I don't like Facebook. I don't like Google. I don't like Twitter. They're obviously censoring particularly conservative voices, but I don't want the government to come in and break them up. I'll sit back and wait. I won't use the platforms, and I'll wait for some competitor to come in and unseat them. Facebook's not going to be a thing in 10 years. Facebook's going to be a MySpace at some point. I know people can't see that because it's so big. Ditto with Google. We just give up this idea that Google's always going to be the thing. Well, at one point, Ford and General Motors were the only real car companies in the entire world that really had dominant market share, particularly here in the United States. And then I remember when the Toyotas came in the 1970s. A few people bought these little rice burners, as they called them, and then suddenly you see what happened. Have patience. Don't demand the government in to fix every problem, because as you see, once the government's nose gets underneath the tent, it seems to expand. It now sees its role as making decisions for private business owners, even if they're popular ones. This is what I said about smoking in restaurants. All of you who got really excited that your favorite place, now you could go in and it wouldn't be stinky. Well, you could have always called the owner and said, hey, I love your place, but it's very difficult to go in there because of cigarette smoke, and let the owner make up his own free market decision on what would be more popular with his diners. That would have happened. But no, I saw a lot of conservatives, very excited, Republicans in the city council of Ridgeland, Mississippi, or the board of aldermen, Republicans voting to strip business owners of the ability to control their own businesses when it came to smoking. See, you just get, I'm telling you, we're too short-sighted. Anyway, there are victories out there. I got a couple of clips. I'm not sure which way I go. I wanted to talk at some point about China launching this hypersonic missile. Did you see this story? Launched it supposedly around the world. Well, I don't know. I'm a little suspect of that story. But there's also another conservative narrative going around when it comes to this missile and China and everything. Something I think people are failing to consider. We'll talk about it when we come back. Soon.
What's your frequency? Can it be shot? Things are drained.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, phone number 601-879-0002. Let me do a little live coverage of something that's going on right now. It was just in the news break. This is this Nicholas Cruz guy, the Parkland High School shooter. I've done extensive shows, probably three or four of them, while I've been here at WIAB, most recently on the Kim Wade Show when I filled in for him a few weeks ago. And I talked to you about these school shooters and why we suddenly started seeing these things in the 1990s. It was I talked about it on the anniversary of Luke Woodham shooting the Pearl High School. And I told you what the problem is. Nothing happened to us genetically back in the 1990s that started kids wanting to mass murder their fellow classmates. What did happen, however, is a pharmaceutical company started getting control of our children's minds through the doctors, who put them on endless streams of antidepressants and things like that. So I thought I'd just look it up real quick during the break. It took me all of about 2 minutes, I will say, so I know we don't have a lot of time for that, and certainly the media is not going to spend any time with this, but I knew what I'd find. I just searched his name. I searched Nicholas Cruz psych meds. Just curious, knowing what I would find. So let's look through this story. This was in the Sun Sentinel. Let's see here. His mother also told authorities Nicholas was diagnosed with obsessive-compulsive disorder, autism, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you know, that made-up disorder that was around the 1990s. About the time they got medications approved for use in our children, they came up with a whole host of things like ADHD. You know, when a lot of us were kids, we had hyper friends. Parents didn't medicate them, and they turned out to be very productive members of society, most of them. His mother also told authorities Nicholas was diagnosed with obsessive-compulsive disorder, autism, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, for which he took the prescribed medications Clonidin and Focalin. I hope I'm saying that right. F-O-C-A-L-I-N. And it talked about, I believe, he had stopped taking his medications. What does it say it up here? Who are they quoting here? Roxanne Delchamps. She's a longtime family friend. Quote, I felt that he should get back on his medication that he had been refusing to take, but he declined to do that. I've told you, these medications, most people, when they have biggest problems with these things psychologically, it is when they either start, stop, or change the dosage on these medications. Now, this kid might have had some challenges. He might have been on the autism spectrum. He might have had some behavioral problems. I hate to bang a drum constantly, but probably some nutritional things that could have been done for that I'm sure were not explored. Instead, he was put on these two psychotropic drugs. So I'm just saying, I can do this all day. Shout out a school shooter. It'll take me about 3 minutes to figure out what psychotropic drugs that kid was on. And again, nothing happened to our children back in the 1990s that suddenly made them mentally defective kids. What happened was we started chemically altering them. We started hijacking their brains. You know, this Nicholas Cruz kid, he's about to do the rest of his life in prison. And all of the poor victims of the shooting in the first place, and then all of the, you know, Parkland, that's where the kids came out of, that David Hogg kid. We all had to suffer listening to David Hogg talk about gun control. David Hogg, take a look at the prescriptions that your classmates are on. And to those of you who have given you these things to your kids, I'm not judging. You had a guy with a stethoscope and a white lab coat telling you that they had a pill for that. I am telling you, these pills are an absolute disaster, and you can track down. Go to SSRIstories.com. That is the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These are these antidepressants, Paxils and Zolofts and Effexors and all of these other things. Go to look at that, and you can spend the rest of today reading stories about all of the people who acted violently while on these drugs. It's a crying shame. I mean, I won't be popular for saying this, but this Nicholas Cruz, he's a victim too. As horrific a thing as he did, he had a bunch of adults around him, including medical professionals, both in medicine and psychiatry, who destroyed the kid's brain with a chemical cocktail for a condition they can't even diagnose. They tell you it's a chemical imbalance in your brain, yet they have no way to actually measure that, no way to test for it. They just think. It's like the vaccine. We believe, and by giving this drug, we hope. They have no science around this stuff whatsoever. Been a big boon for the pharmaceutical companies. Big surprise to nobody. I tell you what, let me do this clip. Dan Bongino, I'm not necessarily a fan. I think he's a bit of a neocon. He's kind of a Hannity with more skin tone. Of course, Sean Hannity has really been in the tanning bed. The last few times I've seen him, he's been kind of orange. I think he just got on the Trump train a little too brightly. But Dan Bongino had Peter Schiff on. When things like what we're seeing right now with shortages and real inflation, even the most neocon conservatives will call on the libertarians who've been warning about this for decades. We've been telling you that this was going to happen with the money printing. Here's the thing, though. I don't play this game where this is all Joe Biden's fault. The inflation you're seeing right now is because of Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Barack Obama. The list is endless since 1971 when Republican Nixon took us off the gold standard, so I know where to place blame. It's not popular, it's not fun, and there's no cool stickers to put on a gas pump for my belief that is we have been screwed by every president in modern history. But it's just funny to me, Dan Bongino is going to call on a libertarian, Peter Schiff, who's been warning everybody about this for years. Nobody paid it. Dan Bongino didn't want to have Peter Schiff on talking about inflation while Trump was running up the deficit, while Trump was growing the federal government and putting us another $8 trillion into debt. Dan Bongino didn't want to call Peter Schiff to talk about it then, but now that Joe Biden's in office, he's calling out to a libertarian who understands inflation and money printing.
The Biden administration's inflation crisis is...
See, there it goes. Boom. There's your first little dose of propaganda. Look, I'm no Biden fan. Biden's a train wreck, and he will exacerbate inflation. His ideas on this infrastructure bill are just going to be catastrophic to the prices people pay. But so were the stimulus checks that Donald Trump sent out. So were the trillion-dollar deficits that were run during the Trump administration. The Fed has been printing up hundreds of billions of dollars a month for most months since 2008. That's George Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump. That's what leads to higher prices. Not a one-off of a mentally addled, corrupt man who's been in office for 3 months when this inflation really started picking up. It's really, we need so much more economic understanding in this country. But anyway, Dan Bongino is going to do what Dan Bongino does, which is immediately try to blame it on the Biden administration exclusively.
The Biden administration's inflation crisis is a ticking time bomb. The supply chain's a mess, and the cost of everything from bacon to car rentals is through the roof. And Congress just wants to print trillions of dollars and pump it into the economy. So how do we regain control of this mess? Joining me now is Euro-Pacific Capital's chief economist and global strategist, Peter Schiff. Peter, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Peter, I follow your work. You have been warning about the dangers of inflation for eons now. Wages are not rising as fast as inflation. So it's pretty simple math, Peter. If your wages are going up, say, 2% and inflation is 3 to 5%, you're losing money. I mean, sooner or later, we're all going to be eating cat food if this continues.
Well, that's generally the trend with inflation, is the price of labor never keeps up with the price of stuff. But the real problem is that immediately after COVID, a lot of Americans stopped working. But unfortunately, they didn't reduce their spending because the government made the mistake of replacing the incomes they lost with new money that the Federal Reserve was printing.
Okay, I got to say it. I can't help myself. Maybe I have some kind of a Tourette's. I just cannot control myself. What he's referring to is the Trump administration first flooding out the first stimmies. The Trump administration declaring the emergency declaration that actually shut the economy down in the first place, that freaked everybody out. The Trump administration who put Anthony Fauci behind the podium day in, day out, and on all the Sunday shows to keep everybody living in fear. This happened starting under Donald Trump.
So we were making fewer things to buy, but everybody had more stuff, more money to buy stuff. And so prices just went ballistic, and they're going to keep going up.
Peter, do you have any tips for the regular consumer, the middle class American family out there working their butt off to try to, I mean, listen, rich guys, they have fancy accountants, they have hedge mechanisms against this. But what does the middle class family do to avoid this financial apocalypse of inflation coming? How do they handle it?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a tax. So when the Biden administration says they're not taxing the people that make less than $400,000, they're hitting them with this huge inflation tax. But one way that the average American can try to avoid it is to stock up now. I mean, buy the things that you think you may need a year from now, 2 years from now. Buy it now, especially the stuff that's non-perishable, because in the future, stuff is going to be even in shorter supply than it is now, but the prices are going to be much higher. So why wait for the prices to go up? Just buy the stuff you need now while it's available and a lot less expensive than it's going to be pretty soon.
Peter, I got about 45 seconds left, but this really worries me. It's not like inflation crises haven't happened around the world. Argentina, the infamous example of the Weimar Republic. It's not like we don't have history books to look at. This could get very ugly very quick if we don't get our arms around this.
Well, it will, and there's really no way to get our arms around it. I think we're going to reap the whirlwind of the winds that we've been sowing. And, you have to go back to the 1970s to see inflation anywhere near this bad. The problem is we're already at the point where we were at the latter part of the 1970s. We're just getting started. So we're going to be looking at serious annual inflation rates in the double digits. And imagine how high the official rates would be if the government was actually measuring them accurately, because we're not keeping track of prices using the same CPI that we used back in the...
They're showing a graphic on here. Car rentals up 42.9%. This is year over year. Gas up 42%, steak up 22%, lodging up 19.8%, and bacon up 19.3%. And they'll tell you, oh, inflation's running around about 5%. That's what the government will tell you.
In the 1970s, what we're doing now really understates the true degree to which prices are rising. So Americans are feeling the pain of inflation to a much greater degree than it's being reflected in the official numbers.
Peter, thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate your insights.
There are libertarians that subscribe to the Austrian School of Economics, and what you're seeing play out is what the Austrian people in the Libertarian Party have been warning you about, people like Ron Paul, for decades and decades and decades. But we're not a very proactive people, are we? We'll be right back.
You try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
So TikTok is threatening to start censoring the Let's Go Brandon videos that must just be littering that platform. I don't do TikTok, but there's some links in the story about it. There's got to just be tens of thousands of Let's Go Brandon videos on TikTok. They're threatening to censor them for harassment and bullying. It does almost feel Joe Biden is like a child. It almost feels a little cruel, but no, it's not. Joe Biden is the tyrant in charge. He deserves all the ridicule he can get. It is funny. I mean, I certainly acknowledge the hypocrisy. I'm not a Trump fan, but, you know, Kathy Griffith could do the decapitated head of Trump. That's not bullying or harassment, but a TikTok video of people dancing to a funny song, that's a problem. The Kathy Griffith stuff didn't really even bother me. If I was creative enough, I'd have the decapitated heads of just about every modern president since JFK in my home. That's what I should do for Halloween. That should be my decorations. The war criminal graveyard. I'm gonna mention this real quick, really just because it's bugging me. There was news the other day that China launched a hypersonic missile that supposedly went around the world. Now, China has denied this, that it was a spaceship. They were trying to do, you know, kind of an Elon Musk controlled landing so they could reuse a rocket and all that stuff. Chinese could certainly be lying. There's no telling what the actual truth of this is. What the funny thing is our $1 trillion national security apparatus says they were completely caught off guard. I mean, if the Chinese can launch a rocket to go around the globe, I don't think we're, without us knowing it, I don't think we're getting our $1 trillion worth. From our national security team there. But anyway, it could also just be posturing by the defense contractors who want more budgets. They'll just point to this and say, oh my gosh, we didn't know this was happening. We're going to really need a lot more money. And the defense budgets will go up justified by this. So there's no telling what the truth about this is. But I wanted to mention one thing I keep hearing on conservative media. Been hearing it for years and years and years. And it is this idea that China is stealing our technology. We really clutch our pearls around China stealing our technology. I do not doubt for a second that China has stolen technology from us. Absolutely, probably true. That's a horrible, horrible government, dishonest, evil, just the whole thing. Anything that you think about China, I feel the same way. But come on now. Do you think for a second that the United States has not stolen technology from somebody? Do you believe that we would go invade a country, topple their government, destroy their infrastructure, and then steal their oil on the way out so they couldn't rebuild their country? But we'd never steal. Do you believe the foreign policy team in Washington, D.C. would drop nuclear weapons onto Japan, even though the admirals in charge of it said they were ready to surrender anyway, no reason to drop the bomb? But we dropped the bombs anyway. Do you believe we would nuke, what was it, 250,000 people? But we'd never steal. Do you believe we would? Our foreign policy establishment, the psychopaths in charge here, they will put sanctions on a country that has done nothing to us, so much so that 500,000 of their children would die. Madeleine Albright very famously said she thought it was worth it, the sanctions that Bush 1 and Clinton put on Iraq, caused the death of 500,000 innocent children. And our Secretary of State said, yeah, we think it was worth it. You believe we would starve out and deny medicines to 500,000 children causing their death, but we'd never steal technology from somebody. Now, we may have the brightest people on the planet. We may be at the cutting edge of some technology, but we don't have a stranglehold on all innovation. And to think that the United States clutches its pearls on another country stealing technology, I got to tell you, there may be a tad bit of hypocrisy in that. So I'm not happy that China steals our technology. I'm not happy with China. I don't like the Chinese government. But can we just get a little real and not let these people get away with this idea that America is always this helpless victim? We're just minding our own business, trying to lead the world in freedom and democracy, and they keep picking on us. This is the narrative that's put out to the American people. So I oppose Chinese stealing our technology, but let's be real. Every country is doing it, and that certainly includes the psychopaths here in Washington, D.C. Be right back. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we focus in on health, in particular natural health strategies, nutritional strategies to beat back some of the conditions that people face, and so we try to highlight different things each week. I appreciate it. I get a lot of feedback. This is probably the most popular segment on the show. I get a lot of people who say, yeah, I get that Wednesday show. I just fast forward through the first hour. It really doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I hope with my first hour on Wednesdays, I might be able to change your mind. But if you embrace taking control of your own health, particularly through nutrition, you will change your life. And it's up to you. I start the show every time. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a nurse. I'm not an immunologist, not a virologist. I'm nothing. I'm not a therapist. I have no qualifications to advise you on your health. I have a passion for seeing people reclaim their health, particularly through nutrition, getting off this pharmacological, surgical treadmill that we've gotten on. And more about that in just a second. So anyway, it doesn't bother me. You can go through the politics. But I will say this to people who avoid the politics and come straight to the health show. If you haven't noticed, politics is encroaching on your health in ways we have never seen before. You really need to start kind of wrapping your mind around you're going to have to get involved in the political fight just to safeguard your health now. It's been that way for a long time. It's on steroids now. So don't even have to listen to my first hour, but listen to something. Start getting involved because your health is almost coming out of your hands as far as the government's concerned. A couple of quotes of the day today for the health show. This is from Dr. Alejandro Junger. He was in the Hungry for Change movie. He said, the problem is we are not eating food anymore. We are eating food-like products. When you start to understand the chemicals and the processing of our food, you actually realize that's a lot of the food Americans are eating are completely devoid of nutrition. Completely. This is from Dr. William Osler. He said, the person who takes medicine must recover twice, once from the disease and once from the medicine. Every single drug you take has got side effects. Some severe, some just they might deplete you nutritionally. There's something with every medication out there. I'm going to play a clip I played a couple of days ago, and I'm going to play it again because if you didn't hear it the other day, I have taken it upon myself during this segment to make sure that I completely shatter any of your faith in any of the institutions that proclaim to be out there to safeguard Americans' health. Not the CDC. They don't care about you. They are a vaccine sales organization. The FDA is a big pharma sales organization. They're not there for your health. And I just think this clip proves it. Towards the end of this clip, you'll hear the glaring admission of the FDA in their interactions with how they approve things for the American people.
The FDA's vaccine advisory panel voted unanimously today to recommend a booster shot for all adults in the U.S. who received the single-shot Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. As of October 14th, over 15 million Americans have gotten the J&J shot. Approximately 9,000 participants in J&J trials have gotten a second shot, though safety and effectiveness data was only submitted on a fraction of that number.
Now, that causes a question. They tested this on 9,000 people, but safety and efficacy data was only available for a small portion of that sample. Why would that be?
Trial data showed that a booster lifted the effectiveness of the vaccine from 70% against all symptomatic disease to 94%. Data showed no indication that adverse events were higher after the second dose. That's according to the company. The FDA did not independently review most of the data. The agency claimed there was not enough time.
What? They just approved a booster for the J&J vaccine. They got a study of 9,000 people, but they only gave safety data on just a sliver of those 9,000 test participants. And then when they got the documentation around the company provided, you know, these are not objective peer-reviewed papers. The company provides their safety data. FDA didn't have time to get around to look at it. They just went ahead and approved it. But I guess they dropped this report on them on their desk at like 3:45 on a Friday afternoon, and you know, the head honchos went, I mean, look at all these pages and words. It's almost 5 o'clock. My kid's got a football game tonight. I can't be reading about safety data. Just boom, rubber stamp, approve. There you go. There's your FDA safeguarding the health of the American people. Just didn't have time to get around to it. I think we've got a bit of a problem. I'm going to talk about breast cancer when we come back after the break. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. What we do is we coat everything in pink. Football players wear pink cleats. We got pink pizza boxes. We got chemicals that have got pink labels on them. I understand the movement. God love you if you're involved in it. But there's another way to look at breast cancer that I do every year at this time. We'll do it in just a second. But I think we've got a tad bit of a problem in the medical community. I just ran across these statistics. I want you to hear the direction of the health of the American people over well over a century. And kind of juxtapose that with this breathless hypochondriac reaction to COVID, where they say that the medical community, Thomas Dobbs, the doctors, the hospitals, they're just about saving lives and keeping us all healthy. Let's see what their track record looks like. Heart disease, now the leading cause of death in the U.S., was virtually unknown in the 19th century. The same goes for cancer, which caused 0.5% of deaths in 1811 and 5.8% of deaths in 1900, spiking to more than 31% of deaths in 2010. A similar pattern has emerged for diabetes, which was rare in the 19th century and had a prevalence of 0.037% in 1935. By 2020, there was a 28-fold increase in 85 years to a prevalence of 10.5%. Obesity, same story. With a prevalence of just 1.2% in the 19th century, obesity increased 33-fold in 115 years to a prevalence of 39.8% in 2015. By 1990, meanwhile, 24% of U.S. adults were diagnosed with a metabolic syndrome, which is a combination of high blood pressure, dyslipidemia, never heard of it, insulin resistance, hyperglycemia, and visceral obesity. By 2019 to 2015, 88% of U.S. adults did not meet 5 criteria for metabolic health measured by blood, glucose, triglycerides, HDL cholesterol, blood pressure, waist circumference, 88%. Now, I would challenge some of these measurements when they start talking about cholesterol being this mortal enemy to everybody. Your brain needs cholesterol. This has been a topic we've covered before. But the bottom line is, look, if the medical establishment is all about our health and keeping us healthy, keeping hospital beds open, they've done a pretty abysmal job of doing it for the last 100 years. But suddenly, they cannot allow anyone to get sick or anyone to require medical care for the past 18 months. All things must be sacrificed. Businesses, schools, churches, everything must be shut down to stop any death or any disease, when for the past 100 years, these things have just been exploding. Now, a lot of the things we just talked about in those statistics are a lot of personal behavior issues, right? A lot of these are our diet. A lot of them are also from things like FDA and USDA-sanctioned foods that are not foods. They're food-like products. that have been hurting Americans too. I ate a bunch of these things and I was chronically sick. I cut them out. I got chronically well. So this is not all doctors, but it's just very interesting to me. I find a little bit of the arrogance of the medical community when they pretend that they are the gods of our health and they know better than everybody. I just got to tell them, you know, your track record's not great. Thomas Dobbs has never done a press conference that I've seen about the explosion of diabetes in Mississippi. If he's wanting to keep hospital beds open, wanting to keep people from unnecessary excess deaths, he's had every opportunity since he took office to come out and talk about these things. We'd have a whole lot more hospital beds open if he addressed the diabetes. It's pretty easy to reverse nutritionally. Takes a little bit of discipline. Takes some habit changes. Thomas Dobbs ever done a press conference on that? No, he has not. I'm just saying. These also show you that these authorities, these health authorities and our medical establishments, they can't fix these things. You got to fix them. So if you're suffering from any of these problems, heart problems, diabetes, obesity, these things, it's up to you. No one's coming to the rescue. No one's going to hold your hand. Every individual is responsible for reversing these things in their own life. All right, when we come back, I'm going to start talking about breast cancer awareness. Just a piece of lead to bite on. But I'm not to fly my kite on. Do you want to flash a light on? Take a look, it's on display for you. Coming down. All right. I've been around a lot of women during my life. I'm fond of women. I married one of them. It didn't turn out great, but I gave it a shot. What I've seen in my interactions with women, things I've seen on TV, I can't fully understand the female mind. None of us men can. But breast cancer is a big fear for women. And the statistics bear out that fear. Not like COVID, that you've got a very rare chance of having a bad outcome. 1 in 8 women is the statistic I saw this morning. 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This is when we wash the country in pink. And I'm going to try to be very careful about the way that I say this, because God love you for being out there and trying to help your sisters. And there's men that do it too. Men suddenly embrace pink for a month. They grow beards or mustaches or whatever everybody does. There's a big movement. It becomes a big community. And for people who are going through it, I'm sure it's great to have that community around you. And God love you for wanting to find a cure, because you see women suffering. So not to take anything away from this movement, but maybe if I could add something to it. Because a lot of what I see surrounding breast cancer is almost a fear campaign. Number of mammograms you should get and how often you should check, and your mom had breast cancer and your aunt had breast cancer, so you think you're going to get breast cancer. I mean, there's just a whole lot of fear around it, and so you have my sympathies. But the thing is that is missing from most of what I see, and, you know, I'm sure I don't get the newsletters that maybe you ladies get. I'm sure you've got secret clubs out there. But from what I see in the mainstream media, it doesn't really focus on why is this happening. I looked at breast cancer rates, and I've got some studies here, but just bear with me, because I'm going to give you some empowering things. There are things that you can do on a daily basis, and some of them are so cheap and easy to tilt the odds in your favor. If it's 1 in 8 get diagnosed, then you want to be in that other 7. And that should be the focus. We should be looking for the cause, not just the cure. Now, good things, bad things happen to good people, and people who do everything right could still end up coming down with a bad diagnosis. That happens. But there are things you can do, and I see that empowering part of looking at breast cancer left out of the debate. And I suspect the same things. I suspect that there is money in treating breast cancer. And I will say this too. Treatments for breast cancer and survivability rates after a breast cancer diagnosis are much higher than they used to be. They've gotten, I think it's 90% survival rate for 5 years after a breast cancer diagnosis, and that has gone up. So there certainly have been advancements in keeping women alive, but wouldn't it be great to keep them healthy in the first place? So we're going to take a look at some of these things. By 2030, the number of breast cancer cases in the United States will be 50% higher than the number in 2011, according to new research from the National Cancer Institute. Again, I go back to the medical community. Can you start looking for the cause? Maybe stop the increases? God love anybody who's searching for a cure, but could we stop for just a minute and go, what the hell is happening? Why has cancer in general gone from 1 in 33 people, I think in the 1950s, to 1 in 3 now? Could we start there? I mean, we don't seem to be circling in on a cure. It's been decades since we've had this, air quotes here in the studio, war on cancer. It's been wildly profitable for the people who treat it, but we haven't found that magic bullet yet, so maybe we should start looking at ways to prevent it. In a new study presented by the American Association for Cancer Research's annual meeting, researchers used cancer surveillance data, census data, and mathematical models to arrive at projections. Part of the reason the numbers are so high, they note, is because women are living longer. Another factor is an increase in screening that enables doctors to spot and diagnose different cases of on-site tumors. Sorry, my page is wrinkling here. Very early stage growth that may not require treatment, as well as more invasive tumors. This is why these numbers are expected to go up by 50%. The data comes amid concerns about the overtreatment of breast cancer. Last year, an analysis of women age with stage 1 or stage 2 breast cancer in the Journal of the Nutritional Cancer Institute found little difference in survival rates 20 years after diagnosis between women who had an unaffected breast removed and those who did not. So they're coming up with these things. One of the most worst tragedies, to me anyway, and I don't judge anybody for their personal decision, was Angelina Jolie had a double mastectomy because she tested positive for this one genetic marker, this BRCA gene. And we know how our society is. Many women emulated that and went and did the same thing. They came out a couple of years later and said, well, it turns out this BRCA gene is not necessarily determinative as to whether or not you will develop breast cancer. And so that was kind of a tragedy there. But anyway, they're learning new things. But I want to get into some of these studies again. I want this to be somewhat empowering. I sound like Dr. Phil, don't I? For women, because I know there is that fear out there. A 2005 study, and I've cited this statistic probably 30 times in the show over 4 years because I can't believe it's not on billboards. I don't understand it why it's not on every OBGYN office door, on every general practitioner's wall somewhere, because this number is huge. Listen to this. A 2005 study found that women with blood concentrations of vitamin D higher than 60 nanograms per milliliter had an 83% reduction in breast cancer compared with those lower than 20 nanograms per milliliter. Let me say that again. And you can go get a vitamin D test. You can order it through. You can order it online to see where your vitamin D levels are. Your doctor can run a panel. Why they don't, I don't know. But they could run a panel to find your vitamin D levels. Women who had vitamin D levels of greater than 60 nanograms per milliliter had an 83% reduction in breast cancer compared with those lower than 20 nanograms per milliliter. Has your doctor ever told you, hey, you're getting to that age, we start screening for breast cancer, definitely make sure you keep your vitamin D levels up. Do they tell you that? Maybe they do. But boy, is that a big statistic. There's other studies on vitamin D levels when it comes to breast cancer. In 2016, a landmark study published in PLOS One found that women over 55 with blood concentrations of vitamin D higher than 40 nanograms per milliliter had a 67% lower risk of cancer compared with women with levels lower than 20 nanograms per milliliter. So that's a 2005 study, a 2016 study. Both with huge decreases. Again, the reason the difference in there is that their testing for 40 nanograms per milliliter was a 67% lower risk of cancer. Quote, we have quantitated the ability of adequate amounts of vitamin D to prevent all types of massive cancers combined, which had been, I'm sorry, my page is not, okay, there we go. Which had been terra incognita until the publication of this paper, said Cedric Garland. He's a researcher and adjunct professor at the UC San Diego Board of Medicine Department of Family Medicine and Public Health. Researchers concluded that optimal levels for cancer prevention are between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter, and that most cancers occur in people with vitamin D blood levels between 10 and 40 nanograms per milliliter. Think about this. This is not just talking about breast cancer. The original 2005 study was directly talking about breast cancer. This is all cancers. Do you know what it costs to take vitamin D supplements? About $5 a month. $5 a month. $60 a year to tilt the odds in your favor when it comes to a cancer diagnosis with one supplement. And if you don't have $5, get out and get some sun. Depending on the skin tone you have, you may need a little bit more or a little bit less. You can get vitamin D for free. God shines it from the sky. Another study from 2015 showed a 55% lower risk of colorectal cancer in women with vitamin D concentrations of 30 nanograms per milliliter or higher compared to those lower than 18 nanograms per milliliter. Now, here's one of the cruel ironies of this stuff, too, because this is something that I know women and men, we're all doing it. Sunscreen with SPF 8 blocks vitamin D production by 95%. SPF 15 or more blocks vitamin D3 by 99%. If you're going to be in the sun all day, like at the beach, give your skin a few minutes to in sunshine before applying the sunblock so that you get your vitamin D levels up. I've talked about this a lot before. Skin cancers have gone up ever since they've told us to slather ourselves in this chemical cocktail, block out all vitamin D, and let your skin absorb a bunch of chemicals, many of which they found are cancer-causing. And the whole push of the sunscreen movement was, and I'm not saying go out into the sun for 8 hours with no sunscreen. You will damage your skin. But I am saying they've been telling us to run from the sun and coat ourselves in this chemical cocktail. It's blocking vitamin D absorption. It's just, it's like diet drinks. Just really misplaced advice. There's a smartphone app called D-Minder Pro, which tells you how much vitamin D you will absorb today based on your time in the sun, your location, the weather, your age, skin type, etc. Your doctor can also order a vitamin D panel with your next set of blood work. So you can get it done at work, at a walk-in testing center in your area, and it gives a website here of yourlabwork.com that you can actually order a vitamin D panel yourself. Depending on your current vitamin D3 levels and your target level, you should take 1,000 to 10,000 IUs per day, then retest in 30 to 90 days and adjust accordingly. It may take a few months to get your levels to where they need to be. Now, as I say, I don't know why this information for all types of cancers, but when we're here with Breast Cancer Awareness Month, now, this is, you know, the other things along with this are avoiding a bunch of the chemicals that people have in their food, getting good nutrition. But just vitamin D. If there was a big vitamin D corporation, this is the problem. Vitamin D is not patentable. There is no giant, the pharma companies cannot corner the market on vitamin D. So there's no big vitamin D awareness campaign. But aren't these statistics stunning to any woman out there that lives in fear of a breast cancer diagnosis, which in my experience is a lot of women, if not all women, have got this nagging in the back of their head every time they have to go for an exam. Please don't let it be me. There's a whole lot of, in American healthcare, a whole lot of finger crossing. A whole lot of people thinking, oh, I don't want to be the unlucky one that gets this condition or that condition. When you actually have the power to dramatically shift the outcomes into your own favor by doing some simple things, and vitamin D may be the simplest. I'm going to talk about this real quick with vitamin D. I told you, sometimes I've threatened to call this thing the vitamin D show, because it's so important to so many different processes in the body. You need magnesium to absorb vitamin D. Magnesium deficiency shuts down the vitamin D synthesis and metabolic pathways. Plant foods with high levels of magnesium are dark leafy greens, beans, nuts, avocados, and whole grains. Megafood also makes a green whole food that you can get. Intense exercise, resveratrol, zinc, omega-3s, quercetin, and curcumin also help increase vitamin D absorption. So I'm just saying, I do this show every single year when we get around to Breast Cancer Awareness Month. There's a big part of that puzzle that's missing, and it is just avoiding it in the first place. And it almost gets, you know, I think there's there's some solidarity in victimhood. We've seen this around COVID. You kind of end up in a tribe, in a club. Well, God love all you people who are showing support for women who are going through breast cancer, but wouldn't it be great to reduce the numbers who actually go through it? Because we are headed in the wrong direction again. They're expecting another 50% increase between now and 2030. Or I guess that was between 2011 and 2030. So I guess we're about 25% of half the way there right now. That's a lot of ways that you can tilt the odds in your favor. Don't be one of the eight. You can get yourself firmly in that 7 out of 8 that do not get a diagnosis by just doing the right things nutritionally. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. A buddy of mine just sent me, you know, I ran off those statistics of increases in diseases, obesity and metabolic syndrome and all these things over the past 100 years. Said he heard an ad the other day that said autism is up 632% in the past 20 years. Yeah, we might want to look at the cause there, I'm sure. But they say it's not the vaccines, Mike. I mean, they don't know what it is. They can't give you any answers. They can only tell you what it's not. And it's definitely not the pharmaceutical company's products. Yeah, right. We trust you. You've done such stellar work over the last 18 months. Actually, they have. They've exposed themselves completely. Anyway, it's just unbelievable. Boy, I've got a great story to play for you. I think what I'll do is I'm going to play one short clip here and then get into the story of a guy. This clip actually comes from the 700 Club. And so it will scratch even the religious itch you have, which is really one of the tenets of this show, is that God gave you a body that wants to seek health. It's we actively kind of tear down our bodies. They've given us the things on planet Earth, the foods and the, as who was it that said, "Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food"? Hippocrates. You know, we have what we need. These pharmacological interventions, while sometimes life-saving, it's pretty good to have antibiotics around. We overuse them, but it's nice to have them. But there's so many things that we've had for all of human history that keep the body working correctly. And you just heard me talking about heart disease and cancer. Unheard of in the 19th century. How could that be? There weren't any hospitals. There was no Obamacare. How could it be? But this clip from the 700 Club, a guy got a bad diagnosis. He said, I'm going to try something different, and I want you to hear his story. I'll do this clip real quick. This is just talking about, you know, what your body needs. I mean, it is really this simple, and she makes just it's used often, but it's a great metaphor for how your body operates.
You know, it would be something.
And, you know, I play a lot of clips that pull up. They're MP3s, and they pull up immediately, and I just made that horrible mistake with a YouTube video, which, of course, ran an ad first, so apologies. Here it comes.
When it comes to a lot of today's common conditions, like autoimmune conditions are, I think, running rampant in this country, cancer, Alzheimer's, how many of those do you think can be actually traced back to diet?
I wish I could give you a statistic, because I think it would be astounding if I could. You know, you can't put water in a gas tank and expect a car to run. You gotta put fuel in there. And if you drive a very nice car, you have to put better level fuel into it, right? You can't put 89 into a high-end car. If you want your body to function in a high-end fashion or at its optimal performance, you have to fuel it the right way. I do think that a lot of the diseases that we are seeing now are a result of what we've done to our food chain. I do. Now, what specifically we've done really depends on the disease and the progression and such. But without a doubt, I think that there are significant and scary numbers of diseases correlated to diet that still are not getting the recognition that they need in regards to how the diet has played a part outside of diabetes.
Yep, there you go. And that's what it is. We don't talk about the cause. We just talk about the treatments and the new medications that have been approved for X, Y, and Z disease. That was Dr. Jamie Shearer. Stick around. I'm going to take a break now because the segment on this guy who took his health into his own hands, and you're going to be amazed at what he did in a very short period of time. So we'll do that when we come back. Stay with us.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Hey, everybody. Quick little inserted message here. First, I want to thank everybody for listening to this show on podcast. I really appreciate your support of doing that. I know a lot of people have said they're sharing the podcast, and that means a lot to me as well. So thank you so much for that. I've had a lot of people ask how they can support the show. Most importantly, please support the advertisers on WYAB that make the show possible in the first place. And if you or somebody that you know wants to advertise, wants to market a business, please have them reach out to me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com or call into the station. We are extremely dedicated to our advertisers. They get a great return on investment, and they make this station and this show possible. So please do that. For those of you who want to support the show directly, I've had requests for that. I've set up a site, a kind of a crowdfunding site that you can contribute whatever amount, doesn't matter, whatever you value, think the show brings to you. You can go to ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. And that's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. I'd like to be able to expand access to some of the source material for the show so people can get the research that I do and share it with people. I get a lot of requests each day for clips or links of my source material. This might allow me to build a web page and start being able to share those things so I can direct people to those basically at any time. They don't even have to contact me. So any support that you give to the show will be used for things like that. Again, to donate, you can go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow and just contribute whatever you think it's worth, whatever value it's brought, or continue to just listen to the show for free. I'm just thrilled to have you on board in the first place. So whether it's supporting our advertisers, becoming an advertiser yourself, or sharing this with somebody who might want to advertise on WYAB, or supporting the show directly, I thank you a lot. And last request, while I'm being kind of needy, if you like the show, if you would, take a minute to rate it on your podcast app and write a small review if you feel moved to do so, but a rating will certainly help. I'm not good with self-marketing and social media type stuff, as many of you know, but they say that will help in rankings and help the show reach more people. So if you can rate it or write a review and or both, it would be much appreciated. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Back to it now. All right, final segment for today's health show. I actually got started on my show late last night. I always kind of panic because I try to really structure this show. I don't want to do a whole lot of riffing. I want to try to get some information, something that you might grab onto and start researching yourself. I actually ended up over-preparing. I've got too much stuff today, so I think I've already done my show for next week. But I definitely wanted to get to this story. I did a story a few weeks ago about a guy, I think he was in his 30s, maybe early 40s, who had gotten a stage 4 cancer diagnosis, and he took the nutritional route, and it was a local newscast that had done the story, and the guy was now preparing for, I think, what's that, American Ninja Warrior or some show. I mean, he's just in tremendous shape, like 7 years later. And what people do not really understand, you know, we'll talk about cancers or we'll talk about different conditions you can improve. If you give your body, like that doctor said just a second ago, if you give your body what it needs, it will repair itself. The inside of your body and your organs. Now, I'm not telling anybody don't seek any medical advice, particularly if you don't, you know, don't understand the mechanisms of the body and how nutrition works. This is why you have to do your own research. But the inside of your body is like the outside of your body. You know, when you cut your skin, you can just watch it over the course of a couple of days just come back together, heal, and you don't even know you had a cut. And the body wants to heal itself. If you give it the right raw materials, it will heal itself. This was really, I thought, a very inspirational story. It gets to kidney disease. And this was actually on the 700 Club is where this clip came from. But check out this man's story.
The results came back from my doctor, and he said, your kidneys are functioning at 7%. This told me if I didn't get a transplant, I would probably die.
Jerry Graver has been active and healthy for most of his life. But in late 2013, he started having some concerning health issues, including a swollen abdomen. His wife, Cheryl, remembers their onset.
It kept getting worse. He was getting tired. Then he was getting nauseated quite a bit. And then he started vomiting. And he just was very weak. And it just really wouldn't stop. He couldn't eat. So I'm like, we need to call a doctor and get you in.
While awaiting the results of a blood test, Jerry endured intense pain and near constant vomiting. A call from their doctor alerted them to how serious his condition was.
They said, you need to get Jerry to the hospital as soon as possible. He's in big danger. When we got to the hospital, they took him to the emergency room right away, and they said his kidneys were failing, and it was just a whirlwind. Things just started happening so fast, and he has to have dialysis, and our brains were just spinning like, what? How could this happen?
Jerry's prostate had swollen shut, blocking urine back up into his kidneys, causing them to fail. He was immediately put on dialysis and soon realized how difficult his life would be.
When I had my chest port, you get lightheaded, you get dizzy, someone has to drive you home, and it takes a day to get over it. And then when I started doing home dialysis with a port in my abdomen, you're supposed to be able to sleep through it and change your fluid out in the morning. It's so painful, you just don't sleep. It hurt.
He would have this machine in his room, and it was noisy at night, and he would just get up in the middle of the night, and he'd just be bent over in excruciating pain, and I would just be crying. I just had to go to another room and pray for him.
You know, you didn't want to live like this, and I was getting just really discouraged. I broke down several times. I just didn't know what to do. I just couldn't believe it was happening.
He began researching transplant options and became even more discouraged.
The success rate on transplants was somewhere around 60%. And there's a lot of guys that get them and they fail and they have to do it again. And you have to take anti-rejection drugs so you can't be out in the sunlight. And there's just so many, it's just like you wouldn't have a normal life. It's really hard. I was at a loss. I just didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, my normal life is gone. It's hard.
As Jerry prayed for an answer, he remembered a story from the book of Daniel, where God's servants refused the king's food and only ate raw vegetables and drank water.
All of a sudden, it kept going over and over and over in my mind. I think God gave it to me, vegetables to eat and water to drink. And I said, surely it couldn't be that simple. So I told my doctors, I'm going to go on a vegetables and water diet. And they said, oh, that's ridiculous. You won't get your protein. It has no bearing on you whatsoever. I said, okay, but I'm going to do it.
I was nervous because I'm like, well, you need to follow what the doctors say. You know, I mean, they gave us tons of brochures and literature on here's the things you should eat, here's the things you shouldn't eat for kidneys. And so I was nervous, like, are you sure this is the right thing to do? Because, like, you kind of always think you should listen to doctors and what they know. But then he was just adamant about listening to God and his word.
For 100 days, Jerry drastically changed his diet.
I started on a vegetables and water diet, all raw, all organic, and water, nothing else. No bread, no meat, no cheese, nothing. And slowly, my numbers started getting better. He said, well, a little bit of improvement this week. I said, okay, so I stayed on it, and it kept getting better and better. It wasn't fast, but it was better and better every time I went. I mean, it was just a mundane routine. Tried not to think about it, because I kept getting better and better and better and better. So I was trying to reach a goal.
How he could do something and be so disciplined for 100 days to do something like that, but he just felt like his life was at stake, and that's what he had to do to get better.
It took 100 days for me to get there, but at the end of 100 days, I had normal function. And they wouldn't accept it, and the nurse even told me, said, I think we must have misdiagnosed you.
Medical community, food matters. Nutrition matters. Why is it that you think that a small chemical-packed pill the size of the tip of your finger has a profound effect on your overall health, but you don't think the 3 pounds of food you shove down your throat doesn't really matter much? And this is, you hear this along the way, and look, there's fantastic doctors and nurses out there. There are. And more of them seem to be coming to this idea that a big swing and a miss with this pill for every ill and not paying attention to nutrition. So there's lots of good doctors out there. Hopefully you've got one. But it is this dismissal when somebody begins to heal themselves through nutrition that they just think, oh, well, something must else must be wrong. They can't believe it. And yet people do this all the time. And instead of studying it and getting on board with it and realizing this is the key to getting people healthy, to living healthy lives, productive lives, this man was facing a lifetime of dialysis and pain and inconvenience in 100 days. He reversed that all. I'm going to finish this clip up. Why that is not studied by every single medical school around the country. Well, I was about to say it's a mystery to me, but it's not. Because there's no money in fresh fruits and vegetables. Not for the medical establishment. It just drives me nuts that they just dismiss this stuff so readily.
Jerry and Cheryl know that it was God who gave him the path to healing and the strength to walk it out.
It's easy to say Jesus is all you need. But it's different when Jesus is all you got. He gave me a second chance. And looking back, it's such a simple thing, it just takes discipline. I kept telling myself I'm on a deserted island and all I got is vegetables and water to eat, so you survive until someone rescues you.
After the 100-day diet, inspired by the Book of Daniel, Jerry was successfully removed from dialysis. His kidney function has been normal for more than 7 years.
So the first thing he said he wanted to do was go out to Burger King and get a Whopper. I'm like, I'm not sure that's a good idea. You might get sick. But he did, and that's okay. But he got right back onto his fruits and vegetables after that.
You don't know how wonderful status quo is till you don't have it. Now I got status quo.
We're so thankful to the Lord for what he did and how he blessed us and just gave him a new life and his life back.
I mean, just looking back, I just can't believe it. It was such a journey. And he said, you just grab on those six words, you know, vegetables to eat, water to drink. And I went from facing disaster to a normal life again.
And there you go. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, God gave us everything you need for your body to perform well. And the natural state of your health is to be in good health. But like the doctor said earlier, you have to give your body what it's asking for. I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form. My diet's not perfect. Really, over the last 18 months, I'll tell you, I've struggled with some junk food. Let me go ahead and confess this. Do you know what I had to eat this weekend? A Mountain Dew and some Cheetos. I don't know what came up. I was weak, but you don't have to be perfect. Now, this man's life was at risk. And God love him. He just took the bull by the horns. He listened to that prognosis of endless treatments, pain, a complete alteration of his life. And he said, no, not for me. And really, his intuition kicked in and he discovered that, oh my gosh, everything we really need to live a healthful life is right in front of us. We don't have to wait for some university to come up with some research on a pill. We don't have to wait for a pharmaceutical company to get the FDA to sign off on it. He said, oh my gosh, it's in the produce section. And he also mentioned organic. That's important because he kept all of the chemicals out of his body too, which the kidneys struggle with, this chemical overload that we give them. But this, I've done stories about this for 4 years, almost 5 years now. Diabetes, cancer, now kidneys, heart. I mean, these things are right in front of us. They don't cost a fortune, and you're not subservient to lifelong treatments, procedures, visits, and these other things. You actually can reclaim your own health. You know, I think that's an incredibly powerful story. I like the fact that it's biblically based. I think hopefully that will be another tack to take to kind of resonate with people and understand that this planet is full of all the kinds of things to keep and maintain optimal health. We have just turned our back on them. That's really the problem. That's all the time I got today. Hope you have a fantastic, healthy day. See you tomorrow.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.